Hey, it's good to be back again on this wonderful radio broadcast. And I would like you, if you've got a Bible or a Bible on the phone, but whatever way it is, you've got to get to Luke 19, verse 1 and following. We're going to read that because we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus, great character. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it all, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest of a man that's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. What a great story! Isn't that wonderful? So today we're going to look at the day that Zacchaeus got saved. Oh, any of you that know me know I love a great old-time preacher called Spurgeon. And Spurgeon had a huge church in London, England, in the 1800s. They also had a Bible college, and he taught preaching. And he had loads of young men. He'd teach them how to preach. And every so often he would do extemporaneous preaching. In other words, he'd come into class and he'd call on somebody to preach on such and such a subject. And so this one day he said, Right, lads, we're going to preach about Zacchaeus. Now, you, John Smith, you get up, come up here and preach. And the young student looked around at the glaring audience and said, Preaching on Zacchaeus. Okay. Zacchaeus was a small man, and so am I. Zacchaeus was very much up a tree. And so am I. Zacchaeus made haste to come down, and so will I. And with that, he sat down. Well, the rest of the students gave him applause, applause, more, more, more. Oh, Spurgeon said, No, no more. He couldn't improve on that, even if he tried. Isn't that a lovely story? It's true. You know, this story we have read, Zacchaeus, the wee man up the tree. Every Sunday school boy and Sunday school girl knows this story, the story of Zacchaeus. In this story, a wee man wanted to see Jesus. He was, by the way, probably a youngish, physically fit man. Now, I know that in your mind that we think of this wee old man. No, I don't accept that. I'd say, Look, I don't accept it because he was fit enough to run. Describes him as running, and he was active enough to climb trees. I've rarely seen pensioners running or old men climbing trees. But our story starts first to behold. Oh, that's a terrific word. Behold, and this is a biblical word indicating that something amazing, something wonderful is about to take place. So let's look at some of the key points of this thrilling account, and may we all be, by listening to this sermon, may we all be more amazed and in love with the Lord Jesus. So, first of all, Let's look at the man Zacchaeus. Where did he work? Well, Luke tells us that he was a publican. Now, that doesn't mean he served beer and whiskey. A publican was another way of saying tax collector. He was a tax collector, and as you know, the Romans had conquered Israel, and they were a foreign occupying power, and they collected taxes, but they had the appointed tax collectors to collect on their behalf. And he was a tax collector. And to say that these people were not very highly regarded socially would be more than a slight understatement. Let me tell you about the tax collectors. The New International Dictionary of the Bible says that they were hated as instruments through which their bondage to Caesar and his sovereignty was enforced. And they used their position to add even more taxes than the Romans required in order to enrich themselves. Furthermore, the tax collectors of the New Testament were regarded as traitors and apostates. They were willing tools of the Roman oppressors. This is what Zacchaeus was. Hated. They were classed with sinners, harlots, pagans. And the kind of thing they would do, they would look at an area, let's say Damascus. Somebody like Zacchaeus would go to them and say, how much taxation do you want out of Damascus? And they would name a price, and he'd say, okay, I'll take it. Here you are. And then he'd charge whatever he wanted to charge, and he made a great profit. Well, did he make money? Yes, indeed. It says in verse 2, he was rich. Oh, he was rich. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with being rich. I'm like the man who said, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. Unfortunately, however, for those with great wealth, the best things in life, like salvation, cannot be bought. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't purchase a passport to get you into the heavenly city. No, it's a gift. You receive salvation, you receive eternal life with a gift. By the way, you know, the Lord doesn't save poor people. I'll say it again, the Lord doesn't save poor people. But I'll say this, the Lord doesn't save rich people. No, do you know what? The Lord only saves sinners. Redemption is free, and it must be received as a free gift. And the only people that it's given to are people who know they are sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Hey, that's good news for you, because Jesus came to save sinners. Why don't you trust him? Trust him with your sin and your failure and come to him, repenting of those sins and saying, Jesus, save me. Well, back to our story. Where did Zacchaeus live? Well, he was a citizen of Jericho, a city that had rested under a curse since the fateful day that General Joshua had leveled its walls. Actually, all who are outside of Christ are under the curse. It says that in Galatians 3 and verse 10. It says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, boy. All things. I once or twice got close to doing maybe one thing. All things. And since we have failed to fulfill all God's commands, we're under the curse of the broken law. Thank God, however, the passage doesn't end there. It goes on to say, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Verse 13. Simply put, Christ made a blood atonement on the cross, poured out his blood, was executed, died for the believer's sins, intercepted the wrath of God. And now all those that put their trust and faith and confidence in him are healed from the curse. Well, we've been looking at the man Zacchaeus. Let's look next at the meeting between him and Jesus. He sought, verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, but he couldn't for the press because he was of little of stature. Now, there was a problem with the press. And that's not meaning the newspapers. The press was the multitude that kept thronging and pressing in and around Jesus. They prevented Zacchaeus from getting close to Jesus and seeing him for himself. Boy, if there's a theme tune, it could have been for Zacchaeus, "I want to see Jesus." Oh, that was something. He really wanted to see the master. He wanted to see him. Well, did he let the crowd stop him? Of course not. He wanted to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus was unlike so many I've talked to about the Lord. They always have an excuse. Always have an excuse why they won't follow Jesus. Maybe you're a little bit like that. You've been around this. You've heard it, but you're not going to follow because you've got an excuse. Zacchaeus wouldn't let any excuse get in his way. Oh, no, he didn't. For example, people find excuses and they find something wrong with the people who follow Jesus. It's true, because we're a pretty lousy lot a lot of the times. And so, but Zacchaeus wasn't like that. He didn't point to Peter and said, "Oh, that big guy, that big fisherman, he's a loudmouth. But when the chips are down, he'll deny Jesus and go cursing and swearing." Nor did Zacchaeus point to Thomas and say, "Well, when the rubber meets the road, that man will refuse to believe in Christ's victory over sin and the grave, and he'll say, 'I will not believe.'" Nor did he point to Judas and say, "Ha, ha, 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 no, there's a hypocrite. If I ever sell one, he'll sell Jesus." That guy, Mark, he'll sell Jesus for a few paltry pieces of silver. No, he said, in effect, "I'm going to see him. I want to see him, and no one's going to stop me." Oh, boy, I wish we had more people like that around. Who want to see Jesus no matter what, who want to meet Jesus no matter what. And so he ran, verse 4, he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. Can you imagine how silly this looked? Here's one of the wealthiest men in Jericho shimmying up a tree and perching himself on the branch acting like a little boy waiting to see a circus parade pass by. But Zacchaeus, he didn't care. He wanted to see Jesus, and he was determined that nothing would stop him. What about you? What's stopping you from following the Lord? What's blocking your way to Jesus? Well, here, Zacchaeus climbs up a sycamore tree, and this was properly known as a sycamore fig tree or an Egyptian fig tree. And something very interesting, the Egyptians used to make mummy cases, cases for the mummies from that wood. Imagine this. Here we see this tree, a spiritually dead man sitting on the wood used for containing the physically dead. But back to our story. Zacchaeus didn't mind messing up his clothes, and he ignored the sneers and the jeers. He wanted to see Jesus. And he was determined that nothing would stop him. I like that. Don't you? I like it. It reminds me of Jeremiah 29:13, where Yahweh declared, "And you shall seek me and find me." Did you hear? "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Wow. Now that we've seen the man in the meeting, the next thing we want to notice is the message. What was the message? Verse 5. Here was Jesus' message to Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at your house." Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, let's stop for a moment and wonder. Jesus came down the right street, and he came to the right tree, and he stopped, and he looks up, and he sees this guy, and he calls him by name, Zacchaeus. How did he know that this man was Zacchaeus? How did he know what tree he was up? Was he wearing perhaps a baseball cap? Or a t-shirt with his name printed in large print across it? I am Zacchaeus? No. Well, how come Jesus didn't just look up and shout, hey, you fella, you, come on down and invite me to dinner at your house. Well, why indeed not? Simply this, Jesus was God and is God, and he knew exactly who was sitting on the branch and why he was there. He knew all about Zacchaeus. He knew his name, where he lived, what job he held. He knew all his many sins and why he was up in the tree and how many hairs he had in his head, everything. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Wow, that reminds me of 2 Corinthians 6:2, which says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, listen, don't be so silly to put off your salvation, to put Jesus off. Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. And then in Genesis 6:2, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. I have talked to people and they keep putting Jesus off. They get under some kind of an influence of the Holy Spirit, but they put Jesus off. Oh, no. I've had people say, oh, no, I just want to be like the dying thief. Yes, I want to be like the dying thief. He got saved on his deathbed. The cross was his deathbed. He got saved at the last moment. But they forget there was another dying thief. And he perished on his deathbed. He perished at the cross. So don't presume that you're going to get saved by waiting till the last moment. Zacchaeus, make haste. Jesus was on his way to the cross. Zacchaeus would never have this chance again. Zacchaeus, make haste. And Jesus not only instructed him to make haste, but to come down. And this is another way of saying, come to me. That's what Jesus was saying, come to me. It was another way of saying, Zacchaeus, I want you to come. Perhaps you hear him calling you, my friend. Come on to me, oh, you that are weary. You've heard that. And something stirs within you where you want to put your trust in Jesus. I'm urging you, put your trust in Jesus now, today. Come to him. Today, he says, I must abide at that house, in your house, not tomorrow. Today, I'm coming home with you, Zacchaeus. Think of it. Jesus, the mighty God, wanted to go home with him, the creator of the universe, the upholder and sustainer of all things. Check that out in Hebrews 1:2, 1, verse 2 and verse 3. Jesus was going to go back to his house with him. And the Lord Jesus gives the unsaved this command. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:8. And he says, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does he say? Come to the church. Hey, there's nothing wrong with going to the church, but that's not where you're to go. You go to him. Go to Jesus. I will give you rest. Who will give you rest? Jesus says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28, verse 30, 28 to 30. So the next thing we see is the miracle. Here was the miracle. It's in verse 6. It says, but Zacchaeus, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. In short, he did everything that Jesus told him to do. Jesus said in verse 5, Zacchaeus, make haste. In verse 6, Zacchaeus made haste. In verse 5, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. And in verse 6, Zacchaeus came down. Jesus said in verse 5, Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house. And in verse 6, Zacchaeus received him joyfully. And what was the miracle? Salvation, eternal life, a home in heaven forever. Humanly speaking, the hell-bound sinner becomes a heaven-bound saint. Well, when was Zacchaeus converted? I don't know the exact moment. Maybe it was somewhere between the sycamore tree branch and the ground. Maybe he left the perch a lost, hell-bound sinner and hit the ground as a child of God. That could well be. But brother, how do you know that he was saved? Because in John 1, verse 11 to 12, it says he came to Jesus. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Did you hear that? As many as received him become the children of God. And it says of Zacchaeus, he received him. Verse 6, Zacchaeus received him, and he did so joyfully. By the way, there's no other way to receive him than by faith alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. That's how we get saved. Not faith in the church, not faith in good people, not faith in your parents. Faith alone. But the next thing I want to draw to your attention is the murmurers. Verse 7 relates the truth about the people's reaction. And when they saw it, it says, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. Here they are, the begrudgers, criticizing Christ because of his new convert. And I suppose if you think into it, they had a point. They were, in a way, correct, because Zacchaeus had been an utter rogue. Well, they charged him with being a rogue, and the charge was true. Jesus had gone home to be the guest of a wicked, woeful sinner, perhaps the most wicked man in all of Jericho. He was the chief tax collector. He wasn't just an employee. He was the chief. He was the big guy. Ah, yeah. And so Zacchaeus, the utter rogue. But Jesus had gone home to be the guest of a sinner. True. Perhaps one of the most wicked men in all Jericho. True. He didn't go to the mayor's house. Jesus didn't. And he didn't go to the respectable citizen's home. No. No, as the hymn teaches us to sing, sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Christ receiveth sinful men. Thank God there are no impossible cases with Jesus. Did you hear me? No impossible cases. Do you think you're an impossible case? Oh, my friend, no, you're not. No, you're not. Zacchaeus would have looked like an impossible friend. Oh, but you say, I've cheated people. I'm a terrible. Well, you're a candidate for Jesus. He saves sinners. And listen, if I could get people to see that they're sinners, we'd see millions saved. But people don't like to see that they're sinners. Don't like to think of that. Because when you think of that, you find out that God hates sin. And he's angry at sin. He's angry at sin. He's got wrath. He will punish sin. So flee to Christ. Flee to his cross. Look unto him and be ye saved. Thank God there's no impossible cases with Jesus. The Lord Jesus saves sinners, the ones who come to him by faith for salvation. It makes no difference what they have done. It doesn't make any difference the horrific quantity of their sins or your sins. The moment you believe, eternal life is yours. Because of all, I can't explain this in the time we have, but there were transactions made way out in eternity. And you're saved by faith in Christ. Doesn't make any difference what you've done. Now, the next note in the case of Zacchaeus is the marvel. I suppose you could say that this was another miracle, since verse 8 tells us, will you hear this? Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold, four times. This is the proof that something profound had happened to Zacchaeus. Somewhere between the branch and the ground, something had happened. And he made restitution. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Making restitution wasn't what saved him, but it demonstrated that he had been saved and turned around by Christ Jesus. Now, let's get this clear. He was saved before he made restitution. And the making of restitution didn't add anything to his salvation. But Zacchaeus said, in effect, look, I'm not going to have anybody criticizing Jesus because of me. I like that, don't you? Oh, would to God that we all had that attitude. I wish I'd always had that attitude. Actually, his action was twofold. First, he promised to give half of all he owned to the poor. He said, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. That was the very stumbling block. Remember the stumbling block that the rich young ruler tripped over in Matthew 19, verse 16 to 30? Now, the man couldn't get rid of his wealth. He was extremely rich, and he turned away from Christ at the thought of giving his money away. But Zacchaeus jumped at the chance to give half his fortune away to the poor. Now, he didn't have to do that. By the way, he didn't have to do that. There's nothing in the New Testament that says Christians must give half their money to the poor when he gets saved. When you get saved, give half your money to the poor. Now, that's not commanded in the New Testament. The believer, however, will be a giver, a generous giver. Believers are givers. Believers give to the work of the Lord. Believers give to needs. But there's no big law that says that you have to do it. There's nothing in the Bible to say you have to give half your money away. But Zacchaeus was going to shut the mouths of the critics, at least as far as his actions were concerned. And then he says, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He announced he would pay back 4-1 everyone that had cheated. Probably he cheated them on their taxes. He said, in effect, see that businessman over there? I swindled him for 500,000. So do you know what? I'm going to pay him back 2 million. What? You see, yeah, wait a minute. See that little old lady there at the back of the crowd? You see her? Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't able to overcharge her much, but I overcharged her for $40. So I'm going to pay her back $160, and so on and so forth. And he kept settling old wounds and old debts that would have continued for quite a while. Well, why did he give fourfold back? Because that's what the law demanded. Exodus 22, verse 1 says, then if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep or kill it and sell it, he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, had the same reaction about restitution. You'll remember that he said to Nathan about the man in his story who stole the neighbor's pet lamb. He said, he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Paying back fourfold, wouldn't that impress you? It wouldn't impress me if a pastor cheated me and kept from my love offering and kept back for himself $250,000. That's how big her love offerings are. No, but seriously, and the guy, let's say, had stolen that from me in the offering, given loose change me. And then he paid me back $1 million. Well, I would keep quiet about that fella. I wouldn't hear, you wouldn't hear a peep out of me in criticism of that pastor. But listen, did Zacchaeus get saved? Now, here's our final point. Let's ask Jesus about that. Here is the exciting proof of Zacchaeus' salvation. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house? For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Wow, that's interesting. To understand that more fully, look at Galatians 3, verses 6 to 7, where it's very clear. Even as Abraham, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are children of Abraham. Zacchaeus had faith in Christ, who was therefore a son of Abraham. All believers have faith in Christ. That's how we get saved, faith and confidence in Jesus. He died for us. He is perfect. He lived for us. He was perfect. I couldn't keep the law. He kept it perfectly. What's the first commandment? To love the Lord with all. I couldn't do it, but Jesus did it. And he did it on my behalf, on the believer's behalf. Oh, why don't you come to him and trust him? Yeah, Jesus was fulfilling his ministry when he was dealing with Zacchaeus. Here's how Jesus defined his ministry. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, hallelujah, that which was lost. Jesus sought for Zacchaeus. Jesus found Zacchaeus. And Jesus saved Zacchaeus. And when the Lord said, salvation has come to this house, he was saying, Zacchaeus, you've got it. You're saved. You have eternal life. You are ready for heaven. Boy, how that must have warmed and thrilled Zacchaeus' heart. Wouldn't you like to have Jesus say that to you? Well, he does say that. And he says that in his word. Oh, no, you say, oh, no, I want more than the Bible, more proof than the Bible. I want to hear a voice from heaven telling me that I'm saved. Oh, okay. Fair enough. Suppose I heard a voice from heaven saying, Miles McKee, you've got salvation. Would that put me at peace? No, because I wouldn't know who he was talking to. Well, sure you would, because you're Miles McKee. Yeah, but I've met other Miles McKees. I have a Facebook friend called Miles McKee. And I have met or heard of three other people called Miles McKee. So which one of the Miles McKees is he referring to? Well, I wouldn't know. That wouldn't give me assurance. But what if the voice from heaven said, Pastor Miles McKee, you've got salvation. Well, that's a wee bit better, but there might be another Pastor Miles McKee out there. There might be. Well, then the voice says, yes, Pastor Miles McKee from Ireland. What? There might be another Pastor Miles McKee from Ireland. I don't know. What is a bit of a problem here? Do you see it? But the problem disappears like smoke up the chimney on a cold winter's night when I offer up the proof that I have got it. I've got eternal life. And my proof is not in a voice from the skies. My proof is written in black and white. And here it is. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to who as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. John 1, 12 and 13. What evidence is there that I have salvation? Well, here it is. Simply because I have received Jesus. I have believed on his name. I put my faith and trust in him. He gave me the power, the legal right to become a child of God. He gave me the faith that I believed in his name. It's as simple and as sure as that. It's in black and white. It's written down. And the judge on that judgment morning, if he denied my place in glory, I would merely ask for a Bible and show the judge, show God his own word where he promised me redemption. This is God's word we're going by, not your emotions, not your feelings, God's word. Yeah, I have it in writing. I've got eternal life. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wow. Do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to know that your sins are forgiven? Don't let anything get in your way. Don't make excuses. Don't be put off by flakes who are around him. Tell the Lord what you want. Trust in Jesus Christ and be saved. And that is the gospel truth.